Welcome back to Eddie's Launchpads.
We've been cleared for departure.
Okay, Eddie, start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let's go.
This podcast is brought to you by Eddie Edster, the Dogsthorpe Infant School wellbeing dog.
It's the Dogsthorpe Infant School podcast for parents, teachers and schools. Thank you for joining us today. We're so grateful that you're there. Thank you for joining us wherever you're listening in the world. Now, as always, we have great guests on the launch pad. Eddie's here with me. He's barely awake at the minute, folks. Never mind, we'll press on with the program as we always do. We've got Annabelle Jeffcutts onto the show today, and she's going to talk about balance for teachers. Welcome to the show, Annabelle.
Thank you for having me.
You've been on the show before, a long time ago, back in season one, and we thought that we'd get you back on season four because we've picked up a lot more listeners since then, and so there may be other people who may not have come across you yet, Annabelle. So could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Of course. So my name's Annabelle, as you mentioned. I'm a teacher's work-life balance coach. So I help teachers to reduce anxiety and switch off through work-life balance coaching. And believe it or not, it's successful. It's possible. And our strategies work not only for teachers, but generally for anyone, because we base a lot of our work through science and through proven strategies that work within the health. So it's less about how you manage workload or how you teach, because ultimately you already know how to do that. And there's lots of resources available as you develop as a teacher. It's more about how we as individuals look after ourselves, how we put ourselves first without the guilt and the shame, how we actually allow ourselves the opportunity to rest and pause for a moment rather than feel that we've got to be doing all the time or proving ourselves or having to fix ourselves. Because one of the biggest lessons I've learned in life is that no one's broken and you don't need fixing. It's just that you need to learn how to listen to your body. That's the biggest thing at Balance for Teachers. We help people to be able to listen to themselves better so that they're then able to choose their boundaries. They'll be able to stick to them, but understand why they're doing it and doing it because they're choosing to rather than because they feel they have to. Teaching is a profession. No one's going to sit on this podcast and say, oh yeah, you can do like a really easy week and it will fly by and there's not. That's not the case. The case is, are you able to have a body that supports the profession that you've chosen to do? And are you able to have guidelines and boundaries where you're able to listen to yourself and say, right, tonight is a night that I just need for me, right? And to be able to be, I don't want to necessarily say organized, because teachers I find are very organized, right? Even when they say, oh, I'm really disorganized all the time, they're chaotically organized, right? They still manage to get everything in place. It's just their version of organized looks different to someone else's version of organized. Now, if you are, let's say, younger and in your 20s, and you've just qualified as a teacher, you're enthusiastic, you've got lots of energy, and everything's new to you, right? Then things will take longer, okay? Because you're learning and you're developing, but it shouldn't be that way forever. I recently went and did a talk at a university discussing a lot of the concepts and strategies we do. And I was explaining to them, yes, you're going to work a little bit extra when you first come in. Doesn't mean you've got to say yes to everything. You've got nothing to prove. You've just got to do your job. That's the main thing. Anything above and extra is your choice, but you still need to do your job. And part of that is developing your first lesson plans, you know, going and getting mentoring support, finding what school you want to be in and the type of school you want to be in. So it's creating your job. Now, when we think about a career, I have teachers coming to me and they've been in teaching for 20 years and they're still rewriting every lesson plan from scratch and spending hours planning. And it, we want to flip that mindset, and everything you're doing needs to be done for the long term. So rather than short-term fixes, well, I need to get this lesson plan done for tomorrow and then going, right, next time, next year, I'm going to do a completely different lesson plan. Now, obviously, if you're changing year groups, especially in primary, it's slightly different because you're going to find that if you're in year three and then you're in year five, you do need to write them again. But in 20 years, you've probably gone around similar year groups multiple times, right? It's about trusting yourself and knowing that you know what you're doing. You do not have to redo the entire thing. You might just need to tweak it. So you might find that you did it last year, you've got a lesson plan, and actually you could just tweak that lesson plan, which will take you like 10 minutes, rather than doing a whole nother one, which might take you an hour. When I look at things, I always, and it was a big turning point for myself as well, because I used to do everything fresh all the time. And I used to try and, you know, do 10 out of 10 with everything. And there's just not enough hours in a day to physically do that all the time. And so keeping things simple, and especially with intelligent people, I find this is, we are the biggest culprits at tripping over our own feet, because we try and overcomplicate everything and it doesn't need to be that way. And so by bringing things back and keeping them simple, I've had strategies with clients I've worked with where I had a young teacher, and she, I say student teacher, she was still developing in her early years. And she was like, oh, I still live at home and I'm not even cooking dinner. My mum cooks dinner and then I eventually eat it or I won't eat it. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do when you leave home? Because you're going to have to eat. So you need to find this balance today, really. And it was a case of, she was doing that. She was rewriting everything every time. And she's like, but I need to, I've got an autistic child in my class. I need to have the same setup in the morning so he feels comfortable and safe. And I was like, great. So what do you do? She said, oh, I do a couple of activities in the morning and I just have to find some new activities. I was like, why do you need to find new ones? I said, literally just have a folder of activities. And if you've got extra time, add to that folder. And if you don't have extra time, take one out. It's not the main lesson. It's just to keep that child feeling safe and secure, and do one that you can rotate. And it, even if it's like 5-10 minutes saving, it's still saving you time by working that little bit smarter with it. So any choice you make, and we've all done this, we're like, oh, I'll just do this in order to sort stuff out for tomorrow. So we rush it, or we try and get it done for tomorrow. When actually we could be going, right, how do I do this in a way that I'm not going to have to do this again? Mm. And it might take you a little bit longer the first time, but in the long run, it's going to take a lot less time. You're going to find more time available for yourself simply by going, okay, I could sit and do this in this way, but actually if I do it in that way, I'm never going to have to do that again. Like, you can just sit there and I might tweak it, but ultimately I've got this portfolio that I can reach into. In our minds, we have different levels of consciousness. We have our unconscious, our subconscious, and our conscious mind. So our behaviors are often in our subconscious or even our unconscious. We just go about our lives, but our behaviors are built from our experiences up until today. And so there will be stories under stories. And what I mean by stories is beliefs. So if we think about, some people say, oh, I hate being late, right? It's like they've attached late as being a bad thing. They don't know why. They know they don't like it, but they don't know why, right? And it's because there's a deeper story going on. Someone else might rock up 5-10 minutes late and be absolutely fine with it. Right, no issues, don't have a problem with it. They're like, as long as I'm here, I'm exactly where I'm meant to be, right? So what happens here is we all have these deeper stories that drive our behavior patterns. And the great thing about holistic coaching is, which is what we do at Balance for Teachers, is you are starting to listen to those stories and unravel them yourself, utilizing strategies, to be able to have a better understanding of self and what you're doing. Now, my assumption would be for most people that are redoing the work over and over again, they may have a similar story to myself. So I used to, and it's part of me is growing out of this, have a story of not being good enough, right? I didn't feel good enough in anything that I was doing. That was my deeper story. I'm not good enough. So I'd look at something and go, that's just not good enough, right? And it was driving from a belief that I didn't feel I was good enough. And so everything I would try and do better, I'd try and do better, I'd try and prove my worth. And these are all experiences that we develop. Now, it's for me, it's not necessarily, I'm not saying it's nothing to do with parenting or the experiences we have. We can have some involvement, but ultimately when we're like between 0 and 7, we are growing and developing these stories. Now, when we think about that, it's not about what you do, because humans, and it makes us wonderful, but also very, very complicated. Everything is from our perspective. So between 0 and 7, a child has a perspective of their parent or their guardian, and then they take on that in any way that they take that on, right? Emotionally, physically. So there are the trauma related stuff, which is a whole other end of things. And we're aware of that. But then there's the things where you grow up in, I grew up in a fantastic family. I still have a deeper belief and story that I'm not good enough, right? My parents were fabulous. Nothing wrong with it at all. They did a grand job. Like, you know, yet I still feel like I'm not good enough. That's not down to them. That's down to the perspective that I experienced when I was growing up. And so I then started to put that into my work and the things I did. And eventually I burnt out and obviously went on a healing journey to then understand burnout, understand the deeper stories. And now I'm able to have that work-life balance that helps me to. And this is that for me, work-life balance isn't about a perfect work-life balance, right? There's no right or wrong way. It shouldn't look a certain way. Work-life balance, I had a client recently say, oh, I've had an aha moment, as we like to say, like something just landed. And I said to her, well, what's that? And she went, my work-life balance can be anything I want it to be. And I was like, yes. She went, there isn't a right or wrong. Like there's no, it doesn't have to look a certain way. She said, for years, I've been trying to fit like this perfect teacher work-life balance. And I'm like, it doesn't exist. It's not there, because one teacher might have a family, another teacher doesn't have a young family. Someone might have an older family, but someone else might be single. Someone might be in their 20s, someone might be in their 40s. Like the school you're in can have an impact, the policies and the workload that you have. So there's so many variables. You cannot look outwards for answers. You have to look inwards for the answers and then have the confidence to stand and go, yes, this is what I want. And this is what supports me, because my work-life balance isn't about having this regimented, oh, I have Wednesday evenings off and I do this. Yes, to a point. However, for me, work-life balance is how am I feeling today? If I'm feeling exhausted, then rebalancing myself is about saying, right, this weekend, I'm just going to have a sofa weekend. Right? I'm just going to completely relax. I'm going to reboot. But then I might think another weekend, go, well, I am tired, but I'm tired in the sense that I've been around too many people. And therefore, I just want some space. There might be other times where I'm like, I've just been working constantly. I want to go out and I want to have fun. I just want to have no responsibility and I just want to enjoy myself. And so trying to say, you know, I'm going to work. These are my boundaries. I'm going to work from 8 till 4 and I'm not going to go anywhere else apart from that. If that stresses you out, say, for example, you're saying, right, I'm going to do 8 till 4, but on Friday at 4, you're not prepared for Monday and you spend the whole weekend panicking. Then for you, it might be worth doing that extra hour just to allocate everything so you can then let things go at the weekend.
I'm sure there's people listening to this who will be thinking, yeah, that's me. And it sounds like what you offer at Balance for Teachers is a journey of self-reflection. How do you go about that at Balance for Teachers? What are you actually offering our teachers who are listening?
Great question. It is bespoke. As a coach, our role is not to tell you what to do. Right. Coaches don't tell you what to do. They can guide you. Initially, there might be some in the coaching world, it's called parenting and therapy as well, where you give some options for you to go, oh, there's a different perspective and there's a different option. But over time, we might say things such as, could you guess what you could do? What would you advise someone else to do? Right. So it's about us helping you to shine the light on your inner self, to be able to reflect, as you mentioned. So the way we work at Balance for Teachers, we have simple strategies. Because I remember when I was burnt out and I was trying to study everything and I was just like, and you know, it got me to where I am today. So fantastic. But not every teacher out there wants to become a coach or wants to, you know, go into that. It's about looking after yourself and healing where you're at. And that's where I was back then. I just wanted to heal where I was at. The information was confusing. It was very much, 15 years ago, it didn't really exist, right? So it was very much mental health still had a stigma attached to it. When I got diagnosed with seizures due to mental health, it was a situation where I felt lost and alone because people looked at me like, oh, you're faking it then, right? That was basically the response. And I was thinking, I'm not faking it. My physical body is shutting down. Now we understand that there is a direct link between the mind and the body, and that the body can take over and you have to then bring it back again. So we have this top-down approach of healing and bottom-up approach of healing now, whereas before it was like, no, they're completely different, right? If we can't medicate it, then it's just not, it's not a thing. Whereas now, dissociative seizures, if you go to get a driving license, it will say on there, are you epileptic? Do you have dissociative seizures? So it's now a recognized condition, but like 15 years ago, it wasn't. So when I developed Balance for Teachers, it took me 10 years to get from burnout to balance. And I've watched teachers now go in 12 weeks, rebalance back into position again. Wow. Now, it doesn't mean they're completely rebalanced in 12 weeks in terms of their physical body, because that takes a little longer. But in terms of feeling calmer, more confident, having a work-life balance, they can do it in 12 weeks. And we've actually just launched the nutrition element as well. As an anxiety and stress specialist and a holistic coach, it's not just about the mindset. It's also about the nutrition as well and the exercise and the sleep. So what we do is we provide strategies. So we have a program where we provide 15 minutes a day, just literally to read the strategy. And then the strategy is applied to your life. So you would take that strategy. For example, we've got one strategy called do delegate, defer and dismiss, which is 4 D's. And it's basically looking at what you're doing, your to-do list, and separating it into what do I actually need to do now? What can I defer because it's not relevant right now? What can I delegate? It doesn't need to be done by me. Someone else could do it. And so do dismiss, like, what have I added as extra, right? It doesn't really help the children's learning. It isn't something that's required by my job. It's just some extra stuff that I've added that could just go. And so that's an example of a strategy where I'm not telling you how to manage your workload. I'm giving you a strategy that you could practice in real life and then allocate things and then let it, you know, continue there. And that's one of the strategies I get feedback on often, where people say to me, they're like, oh, I went into my inbox, I went do, dismiss, defer, delegate, went through it really quickly, and it was done. Because you've then given yourself a vehicle of making a choice. And so some of the strategies are very orientated around that sort of thing. Other strategies are how to say no, how to speak to basically how to communicate with people specifically in terms of what your needs are, how to manage parents, for example, or just any conflicts. So many teachers I come across tend to be people pleasers, right? They want people to feel good. They want, you know, this ability, but at the same time, we can't control that. And so other people's opinions are their opinions, right? They've had their own perspective, their own life. They're going to view what you do in the way that they view it. You cannot control that. And that's hard for someone who maybe have grown up in a house or with an experience of where they've got either parents or siblings where their emotions would change regularly. And so we then develop that behavior pattern where we're always trying to manage people to keep ourselves safe, basically. We're managing the people around us in terms of the behavior. So when someone escalates and they're angry or they're upset, we immediately panic and we're like, oh, it was my fault, or you get upset or you take on that energy. And it's not about you, right? They have been triggered by something in their own story and their own perspective and their own experience. And so other people's opinions are none of our business, because when we're thinking, oh, you know, what will someone think when I do this? Or, you know, what will they say? That's your own mind. That's your own perspective. What would you say? Because that's what you're really worried about. And then we get to disprove that story. So there's a lot going on, but in terms of the strategies, we've narrowed it down into, here's a 15-minute strategy and apply it. It could be changing your language, like listening to the words you're saying to yourself each and every day. Are you starting every sentence with, oh, I'm so busy, right? Soon as you do that, you are going to feel busy. You are going to feel like there's no space. You're going to feel tense. And I, a few years back, changed my language. A lot of people say to me, they go, oh, you know, what's your week like? Is it busy? And I'm like, no, I'm just fully booked, right? That feels so much better than saying I'm super busy. I had a teacher say to me when she signed up to our accelerator program, she asked me, she went, oh, yeah, at the end. So she did our program in the 12 weeks. I did an interview with her to see how she got on. And she said to me, well, I was working 70 plus hour weeks. And she's a numbers person. So I hadn't asked her to do this. She just tracked it. And at the end of the 12 weeks, she dropped to 50 hours a week. And she said, I'm fine. There's no less work done. Like, everything's done. I feel better. I'm more productive. And so I've dropped 20 hours a week with no concerns. And again, it's a profession. 50 hour weeks, not unusual. I think most teachers will roughly about 40, 50 hours. But it still gives you the weekend. Like, she has a weekend, she has her evenings, she's got time to unwind and be with her family. And she goes on holidays and she's present. She's not, you know, coming back and forth. But she said one of the biggest things is when I wrote on the page where you purchase the program, I said how to, these strategies won't add to your to-do list, they'll make it less. And she's like, well, that's not possible. How can you like make it less? And she said it did, right? I don't understand how, but it did, because the 15-minute tasks are part of your day. Right? They're not a case of going, well, I now need to go and do this, do that, do this. And this is why we've only recently launched the nutrition element. So I'm also a nutritional therapist. And I would say the reason why we've launched it now is because we don't allow, people can do it if they choose to, but we advise that you do the mindset element first, and then you can do the nutrition element, because nutrition does require more time. Right? You need to maybe get uncomfortable trying new foods or looking at, you know, more specifically. And if you're in the mindset of I've got no time and you're rushing, then there's no fluid flow in terms of looking at things and going, right, I'm going to remove this one thing for 2 weeks, see how it affects my body, and then gradually bring it back in again. If you're rushed off your feet, you don't have time for that. Right. So you need to create the time. And so this teacher that dropped 20 hours, she was like, right, I'm ready to do nutrition now. Right. Because she's got the time to think about her shopping and make more informative decisions. And she's less sleepy, so the cravings are lower. And so there is a pattern to it. But Balance for Teachers, we're looking at things holistically. It's bespoke because it's a strategy that can be manipulated depending on you as an individual.
How can people get hold of you and your resources?
I always think about how can we make this simpler. Is if you go to our website, which is www.worklifebalanceforteachers.com, and you will be able to see on there the main page, all of our different things we offer. But if you scroll right down to the bottom of the page, you'll see all of our social media channels. So you'll be able to just pick the social media channel that works for you. It just means there's one link, one page to go to, and you've got everything you need on there. And you've got all my contact details as well. So it's www.worklifebalanceforteachers.com.
Well, there we are, folks. Go on to the text of the podcast. As always, there'll be, you're just one click away from Annabelle and her wonderful resources, because we've got to have a good work-life balance. And that's what the wonderful resources of Balance for Teachers. Annabelle, thank you for your time today. As you get new ideas out, please keep in touch with us on the launch pads and come back on and see us again, because you offer wonderful resources, and long may that continue.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to the Dogsthorpe Infant School Podcast. Join Captain Dave and his co-pilot Eddie Edster, the well-being dog, on another launch pad soon. Until then, always remember to be kind, be respectful, and most of all, dream, believe, and shine. Dogsthorpe Infant School is part of Hampton Academy's Trust.